Turn with me to the book of Psalms again this week, Psalm 24, verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing now on the reading of your word. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us, that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive it. I thank you for it. Amen. It's been an exciting last couple of days, as it has become for many people. Not me. I'm not a shopper. I will not go out there. But I know the mall was full on Friday, and the other shopping places were full on Friday. And somebody thought they were doing a good idea, had a good idea, and I guess you risked your life to try and get some advantage in your shopping. The whole idea of it is to eventually own something, and probably so that you can give it away. But I wonder, what do you own? What is it that you own? And what is the basis for you to claim ownership? Did you buy something? And when you paid a price, does that make you the owner? What if what you paid for was stolen? Are you the owner then? Or is there still an owner somewhere else? Thank you. Is the property yours simply because it's in your possession? What about squatters? Well, people who take their place on somebody else's land and set up a homestead or whatever. Just out of staying there, all of a sudden they own it? Did you find a bag of money? Because I lost one. If you do, just hook up with me later and we'll take care of it. Just because you possess something, does that make you the owner? Maybe what it is you claim ownership of is a product of your own imagination, your own efforts. It's called intellectual property. It's yours because you dreamt it. You put it all down. We live in a crazy world. There are people who walk the face of the earth today. They claim the earth as their own possession. It's mine. Matter of fact, there's an entire religion that has been structured around this thought that they own the earth, that they are somehow responsible for the environment. This religion has evangelists, and the evangelists of environmentalism preach a gospel message that says, go green. You know, 40-some years ago, those who were in the know gave the rest of us feeble folk instruction as to how we ought to alter our lives, how we need to quit driving cars, flying planes, and burning coal, using aerosol cans. Because all of those things were contributing to the coming ice age. 30 years later, those same people tell us we need to quit driving cars, and flying planes, and burning coal, and using aerosol cans, because we're contributing to global warming. The idea is to change the way you live. The way that you've grown accustomed to functioning. Because the planet must be saved. That you need to join them in their religion to worship Mother Earth. You know, the very first item that God deals with in His Word is that the earth is His. The very first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. Well, it's certainly anything that He created is His. He created out of nothing and made something. How do you do that? Only God can do that. He created a universe, solar systems, planets and stars and suns and moons. He took this planet that we dwell on. And have you ever wondered what it is exactly that holds it in place? Where is the string attached? And what's it attached to? God did this. God established things. It's God who placed the earth where it is, started it spinning, put it in a rotation around the sun. God did that. He could do it because it was His. John's Gospel, first chapter, third verse says, everything was made by Him. And without Him, nothing was made. It's God's. Now, God gave man a special place, a special role in the care of His creation. Genesis, again, back the first chapter, down along around verses 26, 27, 28 in there. God gave His creation of man dominion over that property. God made man a steward of His creation. And man is to take proper and reasonable care of God's property. But the earth remains God's property. He never relinquishes ownership. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. What is the fullness of the earth? What is the fullness of the earth? It's all those things of which the earth is comprised. The mountains and the seas, the glaciers, the mines out of which come coal and diamonds and silver and gold. These things are all part of the fullness of the earth. And you know, the thing about the fullness of the earth is that God always sees to it that it stays full. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think for a moment of all the seas, of all the water that is on this earth, out of which come clouds? Yet the water never goes away. God maintains the fullness. What about the air that you breathe? This is part of God's fullness. And you know what? It's not only you breathing it. The earth is inhabited by not only people, but animals of all kinds that breathe the air that God maintains, that God guarantees is always full. The resources that God provides are never used up. You know, every once in a while, we hear of an accident where a drilling rig has broken down somehow and there's oil that goes into the water, goes into the oceans. Do you know that there's oil under those oceans that leaks up into the oceans all the time? And people freak out because now there's more oil in the water and they can see it. But you know, in God's creation, He has worked miracles because the earth cleans itself. People go bonkers. You ever see them? They got their bottle of Dawn dish soap and they're out cleaning birds. Yeah? These little birds, man, they need a bath because they've been out there in the oil. Oh, you know, you go out and you want to make sure this ocean gets cleaned up. The ocean cleans itself. You don't think people are going out there with sponges, do you? And collecting up all that oil, everything that's been spilled, and after a period of time, you don't hear about it anymore. The earth is the Lord's. He maintains it. People say, you know what? The miners are destroying the property. They're destroying the earth. Soon we'll have no place to live because the miners are tearing it up. Do you think God is going to allow His property to be torn up by people? The earth is the Lord's. That's not going to happen. And all of its fullness. The world and those who dwell therein. Who dwells in the earth? All of its inhabitants. All of the inhabitants. That means God owns bunny rabbits and squirrels and fish and all kinds of birds and all kinds of insects. God owns spiders. God owns wasps. Say, God, we don't like you owning that stuff. And He says, hey, they got a purpose. All of these things, let alone the human inhabitants of the earth. God makes it clear that there is nothing in the earth that is not His. It's a reality that we need to grasp, that all is God's. Everything is God's. You go out and you work your tail off for a week and you get a paycheck. It's God's. You've earned a wage, but you get it from God. It belongs to Him. And He graciously gives to you. Nothing on the earth. There's nothing on the earth that is not His. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul uses this passage to support his contention to the Christians that there is no unlawful food. Ah, these people were already, you know, they had their backs up because, you know, they're, well, yeah, we can't have bacon. Poor fools. How do you get along without bacon? It's impossible. You gotta have bacon on everything. On ice cream. No, maybe not. So you put the bacon aside and you just eat the ice cream. There is no unlawful food. Is God going to ordain something for you to eat that He thinks is going to be hurtful to you? He gives us wisdom. He gives us common sense. We don't want to eat only bacon. Well, we might want to, but, you know, God, showing His sense of humor, created a Brussels sprout. So He said, have one of those once in a while. All belongs to Him. And especially those who were made in His image. That notion that there is a creation that inhabits this earth is the dagger in the heart of the environmentalist. Those who practice that religion. Because if indeed there is a God who created, who is the owner of all things, then there must be some accountability that we have to Him. We have to come face to face with the idea, the reality that it's not our planet, it's His. So there is nothing that can occur outside of the realm of God's sovereignty. God is sovereign over all of these things. He is the owner. The earth and everything that dwells on it. How sovereign is God? What is the extent of God's sovereignty? Is there a limit? Has God self-imposed a limit on His sovereignty? The Arminian will tell you, yes, there is a limit. The Arminian will tell you that, you know what, God is not sovereign as it regards your salvation. That when it comes to your salvation, the choice is up to you. You have to make a decision. That God is not sovereign in that. It's not true. The fact of the matter is, there are no limits on God's sovereignty. His sovereignty extends over the entirety of His creation. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, all in heaven and earth is thine. man cannot destroy this earth. He can't destroy any other part of God's creation except by God's decree. God is sovereign in those things. He said through Ezekiel in chapter 18, all souls are mine. But he does not say all souls are saved. He says they're mine. Just as clay to the potter. The potter has the right to take the clay and do with it whatever he wants. Today he may want to make a salad bowl. And tomorrow he might want to make a spittoon. It's his choice. The potter can do with the clay as he wishes. He is sovereign. It belongs to him. God's sovereignty is absolute. There aren't any gray areas. Jesus asked in Matthew 20. He had just talked about the parable of the workers coming into the vineyard and how he paid, how the husbandman paid the workers equally, regardless of the amount of time that they'd spent in the field. And there was a complaint that was being made by those who had been there longer because they thought that they should have been paid more. After all, they'd been there longer. And the vineyard owner, he said, well, you know, what are you complaining about? Because I'm paying you what we agreed to. And Jesus says, can't I do what I want with what belongs to me? Can't I do what I want with what belongs to me? If you own a football, don't you have the right to go out and kick it? It's yours. By the same token, can't you take that football and give it to your neighbor? It's yours. You can do with it whatever you want. It's the same way with God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness. The world and all the inhabitants. It's all God's. And he can do with that just exactly as he will. It's not our place to try and help him out. We don't have to do that. He is completely capable of managing on his own. His authority is unlimited. His sovereignty is unchangeable. All things are bound by his sovereignty. Paul, writing to Romans, the 11th chapter, says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. You see, we live, what's the scripture say? In him we live and move and have our being. We're his. Where we live, it's his. What we breathe is his. There is no getting around it. As Christian people, that should be a place of comfort. To know that, you know what, we constantly dwell within the care of the Almighty. We never escape There is no boundary that we can cross that does not belong to Him. So God is sovereign. God owns this earth. How does He exercise His sovereignty? How do we see it demonstrated? Maybe we see it demonstrated in laws. Laws that govern everybody. Physical laws, like gravity. Who of us does not have to yield to the law of gravity? You know what? When I was a kid, it didn't matter how many times I tied a towel around my neck, I could not fly. Even though I saw it done on television, Superman could do it fine. I couldn't. I tried. I got yelled at because I could have broken my neck had I tried really, really hard. Gravity does something to us. When I was a young man, my chest was here. Now it needs to be held up by my belt. Gravity has taken hold. These are all laws that we cannot escape. There's a law that says we must breathe oxygen. Don't try to breathe monoxide or dioxide, because you won't last long. Just another thought about God's ownership in this planet that He owns. All the worriers, the environmentalists will tell you, you know what? It's carbon dioxide. It's a terrible thing. We can't have too much of it out here, because it'll destroy the planet. Except the plants breathe carbon dioxide and give off oxygen. God has designed this whole scenario to be beneficial to each other. We breathe the oxygen that the plants give off. The plants breathe the carbon dioxide that we give off. So when these lunatics and the environmentalist thing start ranting, you can just tell them quite confidently that they don't know what they're talking about. Take away all the plants, quit being able to breathe. What about there is a law that as it regards the changing of the seasons? People say, hey, we worry about climate change. There's climate change. Well, yeah, climate changes 4 times a year. Unless you're in Northeast Ohio, it could be 4 times a week. Spring always comes before summer. And winter always follows autumn. It always happens that way. God has designed it. It's a law. It is an expression of His sovereignty. We sit here today, the sun's shining. It's not bitter cold outside, but we know those days are coming. And the older I get, the more I hate that. I really do hate the cold more than the heat anymore, but then when the heat comes in, I complain about that. So, you know, I'm a grumpy old fuddy-duddy. But God has sovereignly ordained these laws to happen, to occur. There are moral laws by which we see God's sovereignty demonstrated. He gave us a Decalogue. He gave us 10 Commandments. And we look at that moral law that did not go away. Christ did not eliminate the moral law. The ceremonial law passed away. That's why we don't have to hold to the feasts. That's why we don't observe different offerings and whatnot. But the moral law continues. You shall do no murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. You shall not bear false witness. These things never change. They are consistent. And the laws that God gave us to follow are laws that have promise. When we are obedient servants, when we do as we are told, we receive the blessing of God. When we violate the law, there is a curse. There are consequences to follow. These things never change. God demonstrates his sovereignty in determining the nature and the powers of different created beings. The nature. You ever seen an octopus? Aren't they cute and cuddly? Why don't you just like pick one up and pet it, you know? They got them little suckers on there, you know, so they get along and they move about. And sometimes they can move around pretty quick. And if you get them too nervous, they think they can make you delirious by shooting out this ink. And you can't see them. You're all, you know, befuddled for a moment. That's the nature of an octopus, created by God to do that. Those are his powers. Aren't you glad that God did not give you eight arms with suckers on them to try and get around in? I mean, you start moving, you'd be stuck on one thing. You got to get that arm off in order to, and just keep moving. See, God has intelligence in his design. But we are all of God's creation is the way that it is because he made it that way. He appoints to each individual their position, or what we might say, their lot in life. He fixes our boundaries. That should be a comfort to you. That God has fixed a boundary about you. It limits how far you can go. And it limits how close an enemy can get to you. God has done these things. And any changes that we observe are always within the boundaries that God has set. We say, I don't understand something. Well, I don't know why this is happening. But it never happens outside of the boundaries that God has set. He's ordained the things. God has determined where and when and how we're born and how we live and how we die. And what about what one fellow called divine favors? Again, he does what he wills with his own. Some in the body of Christ are rich and have honor and have perfect health. And they have these things because God is responsible for that. Others in the body of Christ are poor. And they're unknown. And they suffer physical ailment. Again, because God is sovereign and has ordained these things to occur. There are some people who will receive the light of the gospel The word of God will be preached to them. And God will awaken a dead heart. God will put life into a corpse. But others will remain in darkness. Jesus said in Matthew 11, he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. It seemed good in your sight. We said, we don't understand these things. I have a friend. I met him on Facebook. And he is an accomplished musician. And we talk from time to time. We've had heated discussions over the years when it comes to the issue of God's sovereignty. He hates Calvinism. And I told him, frankly, I don't like the term either. But the doctrines are the doctrines of Christ. They're biblical doctrines. He said to me this morning, he said, you know, it's just not scriptural. And I said, you know, I don't have time to discuss that with you right now. But I said, I can't help but still continue to be in awe of the grace of God. Because in God's grace, he allowed me to hear the gospel. Was it because I was so smart? No, not at all. Was it because I did all the right things? Not at all. It's because God did it. And why are there those who will never hear the gospel, even though it's preached to them? That's God's business. That's not mine. What I am thankful for is that God did not give us the burden of knowing who would and who would not receive the gospel. God didn't give us a role of people. The names of all the people who will become Christian. The names of all the people who will hear the gospel. And so, had he done that, well, we could walk down the street and say, okay, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out, you're in, you know, and just say, I won't waste my time with you. That's not what God did. He told us to preach the gospel, to preach the word. We do these things in his sovereignty, and in his sovereignty, he makes those alive that he has elected. He does that. While others will remain in darkness. Charles Hodge said, nothing in his life is outside of his control. His is a sovereignty of wisdom, holiness, and love. A sovereignty of wisdom, of holiness, and love. God does not treat us wickedly. He's not evil toward us. He isn't some kind of a cosmic sadist that gets some kind of a jolly out of seeing people suffer. He ordains the path that we walk. He takes us through it. He remains sovereign in all these things. He never changes. And for this, we've celebrated Thanksgiving. For this, we ought to be thankful that he remains Almighty God, who never changes. The earth is his. all that it's comprised of, the world, and everything that lives on it. He owns it, and He makes it work for His glory. Let's pray.